7654321.
You'll never have the sacred stone.
Oh, this you crazy mother.
Welcome, friends, to episode 5-2 of Color of Magic.
What?
Yeah, 1 year. 1 year. I am your host, Daquan Watson, and for all 52 episodes, I haven't had to get a new co-host because Brian Allen's been with me the whole way, man. How are you doing?
Doing good, and I haven't had to get another show, so this has been a good fit. This is great.
Yeah. We say it all the time. Like, we had no idea when we started this, you know, where we were going to end up or how many people were going to want to listen. But man, 1 year, it came quick. Before we get into all the rest of that, though, I want to say thank you to all of you that have been supporting us on Patreon. And like, other than just, hey, you're giving us money every month and it's helping us generally pay for web hosting, pay for our streaming service to, you know, put a little bit of money in our pockets. But it really has allowed us to make this project a lot easier. You know, when you're trying to justify where you can spend the time or where you're going to budget out resources to be able to make something like this happen, it is nice to know that people are willing to support you and that they appreciate what you're doing enough to help you be a little more financially stable through these projects. So to all of you, a genuine thank you. And if you would like to contribute or support us on Patreon, it is patreon.com/colorofmagic. And to our other actual sponsor, cardsphere.com. You know, they're another one who came on board when we weren't all that big, you know, when we kind of just barely started getting people's attention. And they've been big supporters of ours, really retweeting our stuff, you know, just being positive. And it's nice to have an actual company that also supports you, you know, even among the just consumers. You know, that, because I think a lot of projects, I'll say, because, you know, this involves any type of content, is always looking to get that sponsor. You know, and it can be difficult a lot of times. And we were very fortunate to have a company like Cardsphere reach out to us several months ago and just kind of be by our side and give us each some opportunities in their sphere, you know, while we're doing this. So thank you to them as well, because it's definitely made year one a little bit easier for sure. And if y'all haven't checked them out, go check out their site. It's cardsphere.com. So yeah, Brian, how does it feel, man, being here a year later?
This is wild. I mean, this is really, you know, one of my, like I said, at this point, my most successful project in terms of length and in terms of actual people that it's reaching, which, considering I've written for several newspapers, is crazy and humbling. But again, y'all actually came here to listen to us. I'm fully aware that as a newspaper employee, I was brought in for the coupons in so many cases.
Yeah, that's a little tough, man. But I mean, hey, we all get our start somewhere. We'll get into this a little bit later as far as, you know, just how different things are and how much things have changed in a year. But it really is, I hate even using the word humbling, because I don't even think that's necessarily right. It's in some way, like, awe-inspiring is wrong, but maybe it is just inspiring to have people respond positively when you're sharing important perspectives and taking a chance on some ideas or some content that people may not talk about or may not cover otherwise. And, you know, sticking your neck out where, you know, we're going to get some hate mail, and, you know, we're going to get some stuff in our DMs or people showing up in our streams to badmouth us or tell us off. But enough people being there to say, like, no, we get it. Like, we appreciate what you're doing. We appreciate your words. And that really makes it easier to continue doing something like this, even beyond that first year.
I remember that one site I had worked for, somebody told me, like, man, you're really brave, you know, trying to start a news site during the Great Recession. It's like, I didn't know there was going to be a Great Recession when I started the website. Those two things were not, they were not planned. And same thing with this. We didn't know there was going to be a pandemic, right, as we were starting this.
I will tell you this. If I knew there was going to be a pandemic, man, I could have been way more successful. Like, with everything. Like, because I would have had a completely different plan, completely different strategy, you know. But
you hoarded all the toilet paper? What?
No. I'm just saying, as far as, like, the way the content presented, the way you're setting stuff up. Because, like I told you before, like, when the pandemic started, I truly, like, this is beforehand, right? I had already started contacting retailers and conventions because I was going to do some coverage and I was going to do some commentary for a tournament. And I was going to start a little video series. So I still have, like, lavalier mics and business cards and all this stuff I bought that never got touched. Because once the news came out about COVID, like, everything I had planned got shut down.
Yeah.
So basically the majority of February and all of March was just pivoting and saying, okay, obviously we're not going to get the opportunities we thought we were going to get. So what do I do now? You know, and having to shift entirely. And fortunately, it worked, you know, but how much better could it have been, you know, if I was able to see the doom on the horizon?
If only we had seen the doom.
Yeah, pretty much. Okay, so I'm
gonna, that's a magic card right there.
I'm going to step on top of the soapbox here for a second and say that a crazy thing I realize is apparently there is a large contingent of players that believe all these content creators out there are just editing down their videos to only show themselves winning. Now, there may be some that are. I'm not going to say people don't do it because I would be foolish to believe that. I'm sure somebody does somewhere. But to believe the majority of us are doing it, that doesn't make a lot of sense. I mean, number one, it would just be unbelievable anyway, right? If you never saw me lose, then your next question would just be, well, why aren't you just playing all the pro events or whatever, right, at this point? Because just that recognition would be worth its weight in gold if you're a content creator. So that doesn't make sense. The other thing is, if you've watched any of my content, you can see me lose. I had somebody say, like, well, I know you just edit these down or whatever. And it's just like, dude, even the video they were complaining about, like, I had two losses in that video. So I'm like, what are you even talking about? Now, I will say, there are some times I edit the order of the games specifically. So, like, sometimes the way they play out, like, there is a structure to putting together a video so you can kind of control the mood during the video. So sometimes you want to, like, either have your, like, crushing defeat early, or maybe you have a big win at the very end of the video or whatever. And that just carries the viewer's emotion through the video. And that makes sense to me. I've done that. I've also just deleted some when it's like, if I play against one deck multiple times, like if I'm trying to show a variety of matches and I play the same matchup five times, I'm like, you know what, let me just delete two of these and I'll just play two more that I'll just add to the video. Because otherwise you're just watching me play the same game five times or six times, and that's just terrible. So that's just bad content.
Yeah.
But generally speaking, people are getting to see the first six, seven matches I play with my deck. That's usually it. And I've watched other people's content, and a bunch of them get losses, so I don't know. But it's amusing to me because as I dug into it, many of them seem to believe it because they got the deck and they couldn't win with it. Or, well, I tried this with these cards and they didn't make any sense and didn't work. And it's just like, well, maybe you're just worse than the content creator you're watching.
Dunning-Kruger effect.
Yep. Maybe that person just plays way more Magic than you. Or maybe they play that style of deck better than you. Or who knows what. There's a million other... Sometimes you just get lucky. Like I've said in my video, when I've gone sometimes 5-0 or 6-1 or whatever, in that video, I'll even point out that, like, yeah, in this match, I did get a little bit lucky. So, you know, take that for what it's worth. So some of that's on you as a viewer. You have to be able to watch those games and those matches and see, like, okay, did the opponent get a little bit of a slow land draw? Did they not draw enough removal? Like, you know, you have to also use your own head to decipher what it is you're viewing. We're still playing games that have randomization. So just seeing a sample size of five games or five matches isn't going to tell you the whole story anyway.
Yeah.
Like, until you have, in my personal perspective, until I've played at least 40 to 50 times a particular matchup, it's really hard for me to say, like, this is the thing that matters most here. Or this is how this turns out most of the time.
Plus, we're talking about online play. People, you know, troll. People concede when they don't get the card they want. Sometimes if you're playing, let's say, Omnath, people concede immediately when they see the card. But sometimes it's just, they don't want to go through it.
Yeah, also true. So, I mean, take it the same way, though, I will say, like, matter of fact, the video I put up today, I put up a Naya aggro deck. At least two of those games, I immediately pointed out one of my mistakes early on that I could have played, sequenced my cards differently. And then another one where I just wasn't paying attention while I was talking to the viewer, you know, while I was recording, and I just missed the math. And I was like 2 points short, and I was like, I could have made a completely different play and possibly still won the following turn. So those are losses that you almost get to count as potential wins for the deck if you're looking at playing it as well. So, you know, it's really up to the viewer to kind of decide. Don't the creators, our job is to just put out viewable, fun, entertaining content, whether that's to be informative, whether it's to be funny, you know, whatever. But it's up to you at the end of the day to make a personal decision on how you're going to play the deck. Are you going to play the deck? Are you going to spend the wild cards or the resources or the money or whatever to build it? Like, that's all up to you. Don't bring problems, hate, whatever to your creators. Now, if some of them are editing their stuff and they never lose, well, then yeah, obviously they're editing it. Feel free to call them out. But to put that on everybody else's work because you found a bad actor somewhere, that's just bad form. And that goes for a lot of things in life. You know, don't project one thing onto a bunch of other people trying to entertain you, because you're going to end up in just a sad, sad world for yourself. Because at the end of the day, I'm not going to worry about you. They're not going to worry about you. That's just going to be some anger you're carrying around.
And sometimes, you know, people have good nights and bad nights. There's nights where you can't win one. There's nights where you can't lose one.
That's true.
You're obviously probably not going to load a whole bunch of the videos from nights where you just couldn't win, because that's boring for everyone, really.
Yeah, the only time I can...
You know, unless something really funny happened, that's probably not entertaining.
Yeah, the only time I can remember doing that is like a season ago, or maybe two seasons ago, when I put up that Dimir Rogue deck, or the Grixis Rogue deck, that just couldn't win a game.
And that's fun for people, because, you know, you're trying something different, and it's not working out.
Well, yeah, and that was mostly to make a point that multiple content creators I talked to were like, yeah, people keep wanting me to build this. People keep wanting me, but it's like, I can't find a version that's any good. I'm like, because it's not. We all agreed it's not. So I was like, you know what? I will put this up here so people can just see that it's not good. And then, of course, people complained about it. But, like, I knew it wasn't going to be good. Even when I was trying my best, like, it just wasn't good at the time. So in those cases, yeah. But otherwise, nobody wants to watch that. I mean, there's too many people that are just looking for the latest deck or the thing that's going to help them ladder, or the thing to beat their friends with, or whatever. So, unfortunately, as a content creator, you are not incentivized anyway to put up brand new off-the-wall decks that are 50-50 decks. That's not what people want to talk about, share, whatever. But that aside, Brian, what did you learn last week?
I learned I'm probably not getting the PS5 at launch, barring something miraculous, and I mean, I'm going to have to be okay with that. Now, let me say, as somebody that's, you know, covered, I think, every launch probably since PS2 and pretty much got one at launch for whatever reason, I'm aware that there's nothing that comes out at launch that's good for the most part. So I do it primarily, especially this time, for coverage. I know for a fact the games are going to be terrible for the most part. No, I won't say terrible, but even the good ones, there may be 10 games at launch. You know, that's not a good sampling. But no, I'm one of the many people that has waited in line and tried to pre-order, and it's been a disaster.
Yeah, you know, I think it feels like one of those things where there's just going to be a lot of hate toward Sony, you know, and soon to be toward Microsoft for the new Xbox.
Yep.
But the same way people are mad at all these companies with these new NVIDIA cards and whatever. And it's just like, I think people have to understand there's really two factors here. One is that some people are sitting on extra money because they haven't been taking trips. They're not flying. They're not going out to eat all the time. They're not doing all the things they would normally be spending their money on. The other is that we're also all spending more time at home.
Yes.
So between those two things, you have people going, well, I have the money. Let me try to buy it. And two, I know if I buy it, I'm going to get to play it more often because I'm going out less or hanging out with my friends less.
And I went to one GameStop, you know, where they had to obviously had to wait in line. And a brother got so upset. I kid you not. He's like, damn it, I don't care. Call the police on me. Like, no, God. And they did, in fact, call the police on him. And I thought we were going to be on the news, Daquan.
Damn, bro, man made a bad decision.
Yeah, for real. Because
I ain't never in a store telling them just call the police. Like, I don't want nothing that bad.
That's what I'm saying. Because we were at, you know, again, we're at a GameStop. They didn't have to call the police. They just had to wave, you know, hey, they're right there.
That's a little nuts. I don't know about that.
That's just, I may go to some of the launches just for coverage, just to see the pandemonium and record it for YouTube. Is a thing I might do.
That actually sounds like good content, actually.
It really, because when I saw that, I wanted to tape it just because I really was afraid we were going to have an incident.
Well, you know,
be able to defend my man because he said call the police. It just, there's no jury in the world that's going to convict a cop when this man has specifically yelled out call the police because that's how bad he wants a PS5. He earns no sympathy for. I'm a brother. I'm trying to get you sympathy, and you're not earning my sympathy for.
But here's my thing: in those scenarios, what is he thinks going to happen if they just don't have it? They don't have it. Like,
I mean, or pre-order rather. These are for pre-orders. They don't even have PlayStations yet. We're fighting over the right to pre-order a PlayStation 5.
Yeah, but like they're not, like even if you call the cops, they're not going to magically make extras appear.
Yeah, he just was obviously very angry. And I hate I need to do this PSA, but please, for my white people and my people of color, don't invite them to call the cops on you. You'll get one eventually. It's not that critical.
Yeah, that's so weird. Yeah, I just think people have to understand, like I said, those two big factors, plus the companies themselves are limited on their production right now. Yeah, a lot of them are still under restrictions as far as how many people they can have working in their factories at a time. Some are having issues with shipping and cargo. So there's a lot of problems in the world, depending on where your stuff is moving through or shipping from or whatever being produced. That is also contributing. And, you know, there's a lot of people saying, oh, well, they should have known. They should have just produced more. Like, no, none of us knew this was happening. You know, none of us knew COVID was a thing.
And it's not like these are complex machines. You can't just, hey, snap your fingers and give me a few million more PS5 or Xbox Ones. No, it's not that they ever been how that works.
Hell, I saw today they just got the Nintendo Switches back in.
Yeah, and they ain't even new. You know, this is architecture other than the one that's a little bit smaller. That console's architecture hadn't changed for, I'm sure, 2 or 3 years.
I think the only thing they did is I think this version has like the better batteries.
Yeah.
But even then, that's something that has already been out a couple of years. It was out of stock as early as or as late as like March, I think. Because it was right before or right around the time that Animal Crossing was coming out.
And it's portable, which is one of the best things for right now. You don't need a huge TV to plug it into or anything. It's the perfect console for right now.
Yeah.
If you got kids, like in my case, you can get multiples of the things if you need to. It's just Nintendo wins again. And they didn't know the pandemic was coming either. They just happened to design the perfect machine for our times.
That's well, why you're rich. I heard rumor that Tom Nook knew it was coming.
Now, Tom Nook probably did. That gangster. My kids are learning about, you know, the finance and how not to borrow money, because even they realize Tom Nook is a loan shark.
Yeah, he'll get you, man. You'll be paying him back them 10,000 bells with interest.
For life. You can check into Animal Crossing, but you can never leave.
For real. You have a life debt to that damn dude. So, for me, mine was actually interesting and simple at the same time. But that I learned on stream last night. Not just last night, but it kind of was at a fever pitch last night. That people really, really like having content creators play their decks. And I don't even know what they're trying to, because the funny thing is, several people I've asked have not been able to express why they like it. It's just something they just want, right? Like, I have a deck, or you help me build a deck. Hey, why don't you play it for a game or two? And like, even in my head, it's like, well, even if I play two games with it, that's not going to mean anything. Like, I could get lucky. It could be a good or a bad matchup. I might make mistakes because I'm not familiar with what the deck does. I mean, so many things can happen in those two games that make the results largely irrelevant. But for whatever reason,
interactivity of it.
Yeah, people just really like it. And I just find that such an interesting thing, because if you ask them, some of them are just like, no, I just want to see somebody play it. And then, you know, a couple people have like speculated in my Discord that like, well, maybe it's a validation thing or whatever. But then I started thinking like, that kind of puts me in a weird spot as a content creator, because like, what if I play it and when I'm done, I'm kind of like, this felt very clunky and bad. Like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. It might just be like, oh, yeah, this isn't good. Or maybe it plays fine and they're like, how'd you like it? And I'm like, it's not really my style, but it's cool. You know, like, are you going to hurt somebody's feelings? Because everybody knows, like, I'm not going to be disingenuous to you and tell you, it was great. It was a lot of fun. Yeah, that's not me. If I didn't enjoy it, I'll just tell you I didn't enjoy it. But, I mean, I have a thing that they can spend channel points on, and I will play their deck if they want to or play against me. That's fine. And it's all good. You know, I'll still keep doing it. I just find it so amusing, and it seems to be more exciting for newer players, I guess. At least from what I could tell. So it's something I'm definitely going to keep my eyes on, but I find it to be a very interesting piece of information and behavior that is kind of like started to become more present on my stream. So
it's probably one of the only places it happens too. And I'm thinking about like my play group, like, hey, you want to play my deck? The answer is usually no, unless they've already seen it destroy something.
Yeah, that's true.
We all have our types of decks we play. Like, hey, Brian, you want to play this? Is it tribal? Is it aggro? Then no. Get it away.
For real. I feel that. So let's talk about last weekend's events. So we did mention to everybody that Channel Fireball had the Clash event series that they started last weekend. And it is amazing to me. Still, I think it was originally going to be a $5 entry. Turns out it's a $6 entry. So it was $5.99. First prize was, I think, $1,600, with the 16th place getting $100. So they gave away $5,000 in total. And then the top 16 all qualified for a final tournament the week before Thanksgiving. That'll be a $30,000 tournament. So crazy entry fee, turnout, whatever. I mean, for $6, and this is what I kept trying to explain to people who weren't sure if they wanted to play. So for $6, the way the tournament's set up, minimum, you are live to make day two for 7 rounds. So the least you should get to play is 7 rounds worth of Magic for $6.
Yeah, that's Friday Night Magic money.
Yeah. And the prizes of Friday Night Magic, like, what are we going to get? Like 8 or 9 packs, maybe, if you go 4-0, or you get like $20 or $30 store credit. Not that that's bad. That's totally reasonable when you're going to your local store. But like, you're talking about literally like, what is that? 20 or 30 times those prizes that you could win. You know, exponentially more money.
How spoiled are we? We're like, no, I'm just not going to do it. And for chance for 60, for $6. Nope.
Literally. And this is why I told people, like, I started to tell people, you could get up right out of bed, take a shower. But then I was like, you don't even have to take a shower. You could just toss on a robe. Well, yeah, just for practice, you should take a shower. You could toss on a robe, or I don't know, if it's up to you. If you just want to play butt naked on your computer and still have a chance to win literally thousands of dollars for $6. And the field wasn't even huge. I think it was like 440-ish people.
I've decided my new gamer tag is going to be butt naked magic. It's going to be great.
Fair. But I thought that was amazing. You know, and people looked and said, well, now it's just a ripoff because they got 400 entries and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, what? No, it's still $6. Like, it's amazing.
Yeah, by the way, I got housed, but I played in it.
Yeah, why not? I told people, if I like the one coming up this weekend, I'm not doing coverage. There's a chance I'm probably going to play in the event. Like, the format is set up for, I think, almost half the people made day two. It was like 210 people, I think. So it's like your odds of even at least having a shot at the money are at least reasonable. Like, you can't beat that. And honestly, every other thing we've seen with this level of prizes, whether that's paper or online, have been like $15, $20, $25 entry things.
As you would really expect, so they, you know, get their money back and everything.
Yeah. Like, this is phenomenal. So credit to them for that. Now, the event itself went very smooth. The commentary was a lot of fun. I got to work with Reed Duke for the first time, and he is totally a genuine, just chill, fun guy, really. Some people ask me, like, oh, what was it like working with Reed? Was he really, like, a really nice dude or whatever? It's like, he was fantastic. Literally, I get it. He's that dude. You know how people look at, like, John Cena and want to just be mad?
Yeah.
Because, like, John Cena's one of those dudes, right? Like, he taught himself how to speak Mandarin or whatever. Like, he taught himself to play piano. Like, he's a decent actor. He's funny. Blah, blah. He looks good. You know, all that, right? You can't, people just like, man, I want to hate that dude so bad. That's sort of how I get it when people look at Reed like that. Because he's friendly. He's well-spoken. He's got the classic look. He's super smart. He's good at magic. It's like, yeah, nothing to hate about this dude.
The hair seems epic, really.
Yeah. Like, there was generally nothing to hate about the dude. He was super nice. So, yeah. And had a good time. And it looked like the chat really loved it. I got a lot of positive comments later, so that was awesome. But the results. Let's talk about the results.
Yeah.
So, we got down to the end of the event. And there were 3 Omnath decks in the top 4.
Who would have thunk it?
Yeah. But
the good news.
Exactly. It wasn't won by an Omnath deck. It was an interesting, I would say interesting, couple of different card choices, but it was a Dimir Rogues deck that won the event. So I don't know what to make of that, you know, because the thing to remember is the way this format is set up, day 2 is all single elimination. So there are some good decks that maybe can fight Omnath that they got one shot, you know, and they slipped up or something. But we did get to see a bunch of positive results come out of this with a bunch of different decks that got played. You know, there was some deep finishes by, like, Dimir Rogues, the adventure decks, the Gruul Adventures particularly did pretty well. There was a couple different mill decks, I think, some mono green. There was even a mono white deck that had a good showing. So, you know, a few things started to pop up.
It's also funny because, you know, when we were talking about cards to potentially ban, people were saying, hey, if you're going to ban Uro and Omnath, just go ahead and get Lucky Clover and Innkeeper also to kill that deck. And of course, because Omnath can add almost anything, it can add Innkeeper and Lucky Clover.
and has, yeah, in some cases.
So four color Omnath and Tamura Adventures have had a baby now, and it's wrecking things.
Now, I will say this. Also, last weekend, we had results come in from the Red Bull Untapped France event. And that was even more interesting, because some decks that finished deep in that event were like Boros Cycling, also a mono white deck, Rakdos Midrange.
Because people were saying white was the worst color, which I technically from power level probably is true. But as we talked about, pilot skill is a thing.
Well, I'll say this for the white decks. I think it's, if you look at it as a color, it may be the overall weakest, but there's individual cards that are very strong. I just think because of just the first impressions of like, white seems pretty weak, I'm not going to mess with it, you know, sort of pushes people off from looking at the few cards that are really good.
Season Hollowblade is my boy.
Yeah, Season Hollowblade's great. You know, Maul of the Skyclaves, or as I call it, Sky Maul, is really good. The Aspirant, the 2-mana 1/1 that puts a counter on something every turn, like that's a good one. So there's a good selection of cards to use. There really are.
Since you brought it up, what do you think about Clerics as a deck? I know I didn't see it really top level anywhere this weekend, but it seems, you know, it's better for the latter. It seems good enough.
You know, it's something I'm actually starting to think about now that there's room, because I didn't really give it a bunch of thought when we were dealing with the Omnath Uro situations. But since that's changed and the whole metagame has changed greatly, maybe. You know, because even Aura, the new one, that when a cleric dies can return something cheaper.
Yeah.
Well, when they're filling your graveyard, you kind of get your pick, you know, of what you want to return, potentially.
It seems like good counterplay for all the mill in the format.
Yeah, so it's something I'm at least thinking. It's on my radar to mess around with. But I bring up these tournament results to say that maybe, well, we'll see after this weekend, because we do have another event coming up this weekend, which is the Grand Finals. And so far, from what several of them have posted, they seem to be playing Omnath in one format or the other. I don't know how many people registered, or at least showed that they registered Omnath for both formats, because they're alternating historic and standard for this event. But they did put, you know, most of them have like Omnath in historic and maybe something else for standard, or vice versa. So we'll see how they finish in standard before we can really make that final call, I would say. But we are seeing other decks get played and have success that weren't a week ago. And I'll say, like, I don't know if it's just because Uro is gone. I don't know if it's just the natural progression of, okay, Noel, week one, everybody went to the obvious, most powerful thing. Now everybody's trying to explore the other stuff and we know what the targets are. So everybody's going into the lab and coming out with new stuff. Who knows? But I don't know, man. Maybe I need to do a video of like a mea culpa that, hey, maybe R&D got it right. Maybe this card was enough.
I'm not still in a lot of decks. But again, this is, you know, one weekend, so.
Yeah, and I'm okay with the card being in a lot of decks if there are reasonable answers and there are other decks that are winning events and stuff. Now, I will say, I'm still fine with getting rid of a card if it creates so much negativity and so many bad play situations that it discourages people from playing. So if we want to get rid of it in that regard, I'm still on that train. I like that. Clover and Ugin are probably still my three biggest cards. If I could just have those gotten rid of and make everybody happy.
I tend to agree after 7 rounds worth of seeing all of that.
Yeah, but, you know, overall, I was kind of impressed. We're finding a lot of new decks. I've been putting up stuff on my channel every day, you know, and finding new things. So we're in a better place than we were a week to 10 days ago. But, you know, let's see what this weekend brings, because we have two more higher profile events and we'll see what the finishes look like. But speaking of event results, don't know if you saw, but Magic.gg is now posting arena deck lists.
This is cool.
The problem is people are upset about it.
They wanted to hide their tech, I guess.
No, actually, it's the opposite. Okay, so the way it works is they are finding a random selection of decks that managed to get 6 wins in a row. And from the most part, it looks like platinum or higher.
Okay.
So between platinum and mythic, if you manage to go at least 6 wins in a row, you also cannot change a card in the list. Like, it has to be the same deck 6 games in a row or 6 matches in a row. And the problem with that is people are upset. They're like, well, why is there no, I don't know, insert known deck? Why is there not another Omnath deck? Or why is there not, I don't know, Dimir Rogues a bunch or whatever, right? Different versions. And to me, I kind of got into it a little bit on Twitter, not real heavy, but just kind of said, like, but what does that do to show those decks? Like, we all know they exist. If you go play Arena for an hour, you'll play at least one, right? So what's the gain of putting that on there? Like, I'd rather see other deck. Now, granted, several of them are not great decks because they just got lucky. They got 6 wins. And that, like we talked about earlier, could come a lot of different ways. Opponent scoop early, somebody has a connection drop, somebody gets land screwed, you top deck your answer at the right time, whatever, right? A lot of ways you could get 6-0.
Whatever creature in standard that they hate and they concede immediately.
Yeah, a bunch of reasons, But I think it's more interesting to at least see other ideas and other potential other than just see the same list all the time. Because one of the people posted like, well, yeah, but you're going to look at this because they do historic lists and they do standard lists. So he says, well, you're going to look at this historic list or deck dump and just assume there's no goblins or not know about it. I'm like, no, it literally. And I even told him while I was typing, I just went over and went historic goblins arena and immediately found 4 or 5 links with deck lists. So like those types of decks you can find if you want those deck lists.
I said, we're all aware they exist.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't get why that's important to include it. They're like, well, you're giving somebody an incorrect picture of the metagame and blah, blah. And my head is like, anybody who's concerned about that knows those exist. Like, the average player who doesn't care and they're just looking for deck ideas or whatever, what does it matter if they see a goblins list or not? Because they'll definitely see one across the table. And again, if they want it, they can just Google search it. It took me like 10 seconds. Not even 10 seconds. So I don't know. I appreciate what they're trying to do. I don't think there's a perfect way to do it until we have more actual arena events. Because, you know, like when they had the arena opens, they were able to say, okay, cool. Here's all the decks that got 7 wins. Here's all the decks that got 6 wins. And that's a clear delineation of they played against competitive stuff. Here are the lists. So until we're at that point, I'm okay with this, how it's set up. And yeah, some of the decks are junky. I had somebody share one in my Discord chat. And I just looked at it. They're like, hey, did you see this Gruul list? I know you like looking at Gruul list. And I'm like, I have so many questions. Well, because I didn't even know where they got the list from at first, because this was the day they started posting them and I wasn't aware they were posted yet. And I'm just like, why is this here? Where's your removal? Like, why would you play this card over that card? Just play more copies of this or that. Like, there were so many questions. But I get it, right? Somebody just got lucky and that's okay. Give somebody their face time. Let people live their moment. That may be their only one. I don't know. But I think we should let it play out for a little bit first. Because I think one of our problems is we see things And maybe, you know, and I was a little bit knee-jerky too on the Uro situation, right? We are very quick to look at things and say like, oh, well, this doesn't make sense within my realm of perspective. And really, like, let's let it play out a little bit. Like, we're only on, I think, the second week's worth of decks they've put up or second posting or something. So let's let it ride for a little bit. Let's see if it affects anything. Let's see if people enjoy it. If it turns out a lot of people just like seeing other decks, great. If it turns out people look and say, man, every time I copy one of those decks, they're all bad. Just ignore them. Okay, then let's talk about that. But as is, yeah, let's check it out and let it ride for a couple weeks. Let's come back and revisit it maybe in a month and see how we feel. Now, another thing we want to talk about, and this is something you reminded me about that I almost let slip through my mind, which tells you kind of how I feel about it. This whole captain format garbage. For those of you that don't know, and I don't even know who originated this thing, but some angry people who are mad about how Wizards and the whatever we call the rules committee or whatever for Commander are handling things or whatever, you know, they don't have your best interest in mind, blah, blah, all that stuff. And decided they're going to make a new Commander-ish format with some modified rules.
Like basically no Walking Dead cards, I think, is the primary rule.
Yeah, obviously. But people ask me, what do I think about it? What am I expecting from it? Real talk, I told anybody who wants to take the bet, dead in a year. And what's funny is I had multiple people go, man, you're giving it a year? I was like, no, I'm saying a year so people will actually take the bet. I'm just being real. Yeah. Like, it's probably dead in 3 months. But at least if I say a year, somebody would be like, oh, well, they'll have time to gain traction and everything else. Where maybe I might make $100. Because let's be real. We've had other formats people have tried to make before, right? They're the, like, Tiny Leaders was one. And that format sucked. It was serious. It was like the worst. But it was like the bad parts of Legacy and the bad parts of Commander. And they just jammed them together and tried to call it a thing. That thing, I'd say I remember hearing people talk about it for about 6 months. And then it went away. The reality is, if you don't have support and you don't, hell, even Frontier before, that was like the pseudo Pioneer format before Pioneer was a thing, right? People tried to make that a thing. And that at least had people talking about it for like a year and a half, but nobody really played it except for a couple of stores, I think, in like Japan and a couple of small pockets in the US, but nobody really played the format at all. And I think this is going to be much the same. Like, the first problem this format has is it's coming from the wrong place to begin with. Like, it's people just being mad, wanting to try to make a new format. And two things come from that. One, anybody who wants to play it is probably going to be the wrong mindset of person you want to play with. Two, the motivation for people to keep up with it, promote it, whatever, is going to wane really fast. Because the people who are into it are only into it because of a moment of frustration or anger, and that doesn't hold up. It just doesn't. So if I were telling somebody anything, I would say, don't even bother. Because the other reality is, who are you going to play it with? Everybody else you know still has Commander decks. And that's what people are going to expect to play with. Whatever cards they own or whatever, and play all the normal Commander rules, because those are readily available and everybody knows about them, and they get new product multiple times a year and whatever. And that's what people want to play. And some of us are getting back to where they can finally start gaming with other humans again. And I expect they're just going to play regular Commander. There's no reason for them to play anything else. So, yeah, I don't know if people were like, hey, I sure you have good things to say about this format. Like, nope, sure don't.
I hear that Mitch over the Commander's Quarters, I don't know if he's the creator, but I think he's the one that probably publicizes the most. Apparently, he's already out. He's already said he wished he hadn't kind of, I guess, given it voice.
But, yeah, like, that's my point, though. What is going to come of it? Like, you're just just play Commander and have a house rule that you can't use secret lair only cards or whatever. Done. It's that simple. And you can just keep playing Commander. People house rule Commander stuff all the time anyway.
Yep.
Like, that's the weirdest part about the whole thing. It's like, if you still like playing Commander, just play Commander. You can just make a rule to play Commander the way you want to.
Yeah. And if
you don't have to go
for friends that don't want to play a Walking Dead cards, then okay, you just make that a rule.
Yeah, it's really not a problem. It's really not, not even a little bit. Like, the other example of a format like this, I will say, is Oathbreaker, which is basically Commander, but for some reason you get to play Planeswalkers and a spell in your command zone or whatever. It has a small following, but that's literally because you have an active group that is promoting it heavily, constantly, all the time. Like, they have an active Twitter page. They talk about event results. You know, they're being active and trying to promote it all the time. Like, if you don't have that level behind it, and you don't have Wizards or one of these big websites or whatever promoting it, you're just going to have a hard time getting traction. But I will say, even with them having their level of what I'll call, like, support behind it, it's still not what I would call even a truly viable format. Like, I have a couple of local stores where people love playing Commander. Not once have I seen, well, granted, I haven't played with them in 6 months, but even then, nobody played a game of Oathbreaker. I mean, even now, when I'm following them on different Discords locally, like, nobody's talking about Oathbreaker. They are talking about regular Commander. So even though there is a group and there is support, even that's very small. So to think something like the Captain format's going to catch on, just not likely. I mean, you know as well as I do, you've played a lot of games that, you know, people want to make special variants and they want to be able to play certain things or play the way they want to or whatever, and it just never works out.
Yeah.
And
as you kind of said, when you take what's already a smaller sampling of the player base, then you divide that even farther.
Yeah, for me, it's really about if I'm traveling, say, to an event or a show or whatever, and I want to carry some Magic decks. So if I have time, I go to the local store and play some games. I'm generally going to carry just the major format decks. I'm going to have like a Commander deck, a Standard deck, probably either or Modern or Legacy deck on me. But between those, I can find somebody to play with wherever I go to play Magic. If I walk in with a Captain format deck, I'm probably just going to have to play it against regular Commander decks because that's what all the locals are going to have. Like, that's really the biggest issue, is if you're trying to find a game, sometimes it's just going to be difficult. So, yeah, and, you know, like you're saying, the people who started out supporting it are already not even want to talk about it anymore. And what's funnier is I'm still set on the fact that these cards are probably just going to be in Innistrad next year anyway.
It would seem to fit.
Yeah, so it's all kind of largely irrelevant if that ends up happening. But all right, with all that out of the way, we still have probably about 15, 20 minutes here. I just wanted to have a conversation with you, Brian, about how different things are now from, you know, going back to last October, right? When I reached out, I guess it was September, but we were going to record in October. I'm saying like, hey, I have this idea. You know, I'm starting to think about wanting to do some content again. You know, job situation's changed. I want to try some stuff. Are you in? Up to today, like, how different is that for you now?
Everything. I mean, I'm in a whole other house now. This is, again, we're a year out. And as we talked about, we had no idea if anybody would listen to it. Then, you know, after that, I got a writing offer from Cardsphere because I played Magic for years. Never thought about becoming a Magic content creator. Didn't know anybody wanted to read anything I had to write or hear anything I had to say, and was pleasantly surprised to find out that they did.
Yeah. I mean, I enjoy things like that and enjoy hearing stuff like that because you already have a skill for both speaking and writing. But, you know, you finally got the opportunity to apply it to the magic community. You know, and it's funny because I think about another friend of mine, Galen Eilenfeld. He's a fantastic artist, but when I met him years ago and he was coming by my store, he was a tattoo artist. And he was just getting tired of the tattoo culture. You know, the infighting within each of their own businesses and the customers you had to deal with late nights and, you know, just everything around it. And I'd known him for a couple of years at this point, and as we're talking, I'm like, cool, dude, you got some skill. I'm sure there's other things you could do or whatever. And randomly, a couple of days later, I find out he's been just messing around with paints on magic cards, basically creating what we call magic altars. And they were great. You know, so I'm like, dude, hold up. Like, I can get you in front of people that'll buy these. And he's like, I don't know, whatever. Like, I'm telling you, like, coincidentally, timing was just great, right? I had a convention coming up in like a month. I was like, hey, I'll work a deal with you for a booth. I'll just take a percentage. You don't have to pay up front. But like, you need to do this, right? And then after that, he started getting commissions, you know, started doing regular work. He got hired to do some artwork for a couple of board games. You know, he's actually done his own comic book now. You know, he's got a great following on Twitch. By the way, it's Art by Galen, if you want to check this dude out. Like, and he has one of the most beautiful Twitch streams, honestly, as far as how it interacts and the colors. And he's so good. So good. But it's amazing to me. You know, I have this belief that somewhere in the world, there's probably a runner faster than Usain Bolt. But he happens to be a doctor.
Yeah.
You know, like sometimes you just don't find that thing that you can apply your skills to because for whatever reason, maybe you take an interest in something else or life just drives you a different direction. So it's always cool when you can see somebody get to do something they enjoy that they may not have had the opportunity to otherwise for whatever reason, you know, that you've been able to apply your skills to this community.
My mom is also a good writer, but, you know, she had me at 16. Kind of changes your life path.
Oh, absolutely. Totally. You know, I mean, we went from, you know, nothing to you now having a family YouTube channel. You've got your own YouTube channel. You know, you're writing for Cards Fair and I guess doing work for Wizards as well.
Yeah, we've done a little thing for them. So again, all of this is just, if you'd asked me that any of this was going to happen to me in August of last year, I'd have said, you're absolutely crazy.
And I feel you, you know, because my original plan was like, you know what? All right, I'll do the podcast. I'll probably do a little bit of streaming and then we'll just see what happens. And then I got caught up in this, I don't know, that whole 60-day thing, which was a mess. But I learned so much from that, right? And then in doing it, I was like, you know what? We're coming up on February. Like, what if I just start doing YouTube stuff and just see? Because I'd been kind of halfway researching some stuff and talking about things and reaching out to people. And I was like, can we turn this into an actual thing? What if I just did stuff differently? Would it work? And I'll be damned if all this didn't work. I mean, some of it's timing, some of it's luck, you know, some of it's planning. But I tell people, like, a lot of success comes with at least a little bit of luck.
It's absolutely, because, I mean, you have no idea how, you know, it was definitely a project I wanted to do, but I already was. I was definitely doing Twitch. You know, we were coming on to we thought we were coming up on the season when we actually do a bunch of comedy and murder mystery shows. So I was, you know, it was the thing I wanted to do. And I'm thinking, like, I want to do this really bad, but I'm not sure I'm going to have the time to do it. But it just really sounded like a good project. And again, we couldn't believe nobody was doing it. So I said yes, not knowing how I'd have time to do any of it. And then, you know, calendar cleared in a lot of ways.
Well, yeah, you know, and I tell people, to some extent, you know, COVID did some of this for us. And you know, we talked about that last week. That's part of what makes discussions a little weird with some people. When, you know, they're not doing well and their projects are suffering, and you're like, well, I mean, I kind of got a new gig. I got a new opportunity or whatever. And it likely only happened because of COVID. I mean, I went from doing, well, I wouldn't say zero. I'd done a couple of commentary gigs to now doing them almost monthly, if not more frequently. And that's for sure because of COVID. Because a bunch of events moved online and now people got to see me speak in front of other people. And, you know that I'm not ridiculous on my magic knowledge or whatever. But that wouldn't have happened if the pandemic didn't happen. You know, we had the situations of, you know, the George Floyd killing and the Breonna Taylor situation. And those all led to people searching out content from people of color. And we were kind of right place, right time in some cases.
And we were here before making content, but, you know, people weren't looking for it yet. Or I won't say that people weren't looking for it because we each have our own communities, but we not as many people were looking for it.
And that's the thing. That's why I say, like, it is grim to think about, you know, some of our success is because some people died. And that's a hard pill to swallow, man. It really is, because I've thought about that a couple of times in the last few months.
But so many times, especially in show business, you get the gig happens because somebody else either wasn't able to do it, or I just found this out recently, you know, that Robin Williams wasn't the first choice to be Mork from Ork. They wanted John Byner, and John Byner read the script and never thought it would work, and the rest is history.
Yeah. That happens.
He doesn't become Robin Williams if he doesn't do Mork for Mork.
Well, you know the popular story about the George Foreman grill, right?
No, I don't think I do.
Yeah, so as it turns out, he and Hulk Hogan had, I guess, either the same agent or agents that were friends. And they had two items that were needing celebrities to promote them. So they went to Hogan first because Hogan was like the more household name at the time. And they were like, hey, dude, we have this smoothie machine and we have this grill. Like, which one would you like to support, have your name behind, you know, whatever. And he was like, well, of course, the smoothie machine.
Well, yeah, I'm sure he drinks all the protein shakes.
Yeah, but then they went on to sell like 10 million George Foreman grills or whatever the hell it was.
You got one down there.
So, you know, like, you just never know. I mean, life takes some weird turns for a lot of different reasons. And I'm just so thankful that, well, one, I knew somebody else who was interested that I knew was capable, you know, and that I at least had some knowledge of the industry and how to do some of the stuff from having done it previously in my life. So I had that going for me. And then, like I said, after that, some of it was just good timing.
I'm glad I was capable, because at first I was not sure. Of all the things I've done, podcast was actually not. Well, I take that back. Gamertel had a podcast, and it really didn't take off. So I had done it before. I hadn't done it this well before.
Yeah, but you know, just like all things, sometimes you just got to learn on the fly.
Yes, absolutely. When we first started doing it, I didn't listen to anybody else in Magic's podcast because I knew it would just only intimidate me.
There's still a lot of good content out there.
Well, absolutely. And can take it in. But okay, yeah, this is great. And I'm not as intimidated as I would. If I'd listened to him before, I wouldn't have been able to do this because I'd have been just nervous.
And, you know, I also want to say that, even, you know, despite the luck and the timing and everything else, some of it is a lot of work. You know, I've definitely had weeks where, you know, I was recording a thing on Monday. I was making sure I was putting stuff up on YouTube. We recorded the podcast on like a Wednesday. Sometime between Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, I was on like two or three podcasts or other people's YouTube channels, all to just get the recognition and the work in. So people knew we existed and let people know, hey, here's our personality. Here's who we are. And the other fun part about this past year is seeing people or groups that we've had the opportunity to work with that are doing so well now or are blowing up, you know, and I don't think it's particularly because of us. I mean, I'm sure we contributed a little bit, but each of these people was already fantastic. They were already doing good things, but it was cool to just be part of that or to expose them to more people. Cause you know, the dudes with one more mana, they're crushing it right now.
Absolutely.
And they have multiple things up on their channel every week now covering different aspects of Commander and whatever, and good on them.
And I definitely include them in the people where if I had, you know, I did the research before we interviewed them, but if I had heard their channel before we did this, I'd have been too scared to do this. Because I'm like, I can't be that funny. I can't make Magic that funny.
I would have just... But, you know, to me, that's just one part of everything that's made this last year so rewarding. You know, that even beyond what we've gotten out of it personally, I've been able to look and say, like, man, we've made these other connections. We've made these other friends. And getting to see other people succeed has been fantastic. You know, even when you're looking, like, some people we've had on the show, like Nessa and Emma, they're doing well right now.
Ellie, you know, writing for Wizards now.
Yeah, that's true. I saw Ellie's article with Wizards. That was up yesterday or the day before. So it's very cool just seeing all these people flourish. And I hope our show continues to grow. And over time, we're able to keep giving people opportunities as they come up. And I'm even working on something. It's probably going to take till I get around between like 9 and 10,000 subscribers on my YouTube channel. But I have an idea and a concept for helping new creators as well build up their first 500 to 1,000 subscribers, because you know that's where you get monetized, you know. So working on that as well too is another way to kind of help support the community where I can. But man, I just really want to wrap up the show by just telling everybody just thanks.
Absolutely.
You know, more than anything else, like, it's been a wild year for a lot of people. You know, some it's been very hard on. Some people have had to fight sickness, in some cases death. And, you know, we've been able to share unique perspectives and stories. And really, surprisingly, you know, just seeing the people that talk about us and where we pop up at times, I'm genuinely just impressed and surprised at the support and the recognition we've gotten for what we're doing. So thank all of y'all for that. I mean, I can't say that enough. I mean, I say it all the time on my stream. You know, I've said it in my YouTube comments, on my Discord. We can't do these types of things without supporters. We can't do these types of things without consumers. As much as we like producing it, you know, at the end of the day, it is time and money that we have to put in. And it gets a lot easier when you have that level of support coming back. And it tells the rest of the community that, hey, these types of shows, these types of channels, this level of discussion, these topics, like, we do care and we want to see these. And other people can look and say, hey, maybe people do want to listen to this type of stuff. And maybe there'll be another show that's similar in another year. You know, we'll be talking about maybe some other show we do a cross-branding thing with or something. But it's always a little scary and maybe to some extent a little bit dangerous to be the first. But when it works, the results are very positive for a lot of people. So thank you all for that.
I want to echo everything Daquan just said. And Daquan, I want to thank you because, again, this was your idea. This was your vision. Thank you for having faith in me, because of the time you asked me, I didn't know I could do a lot of these things.
Well, lucky for you, I'm a pretty good judge of character.
I appreciate it.
But on that note, we're going to end on something positive. Again, just thank everybody for the 1 year. You know, we're going to keep doing this. I don't know where the end is, if there is an end. I mean, I'm sure there is at some point, but hopefully we'll be talking about this again in year two, and maybe we'll be talking about bigger and better things that we're doing and other companies or maybe other sponsors that we have or whatever. But man, year one came quick, and hell of a surprise where we've ended up so far. So to everybody, as usual, wherever you're listening, whenever you're listening, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and good night. And please remember to wear your mask, wash your hands, stay away from other humans because they're icky with the COVID right now. And let's get back to gaming the way we want to. If you'd like to further support Color of Magic, you can find us on our website at colorofmtg.com. We also have a Patreon if you'd like to donate, other patreon.com/colorofmagic. You can also find us on Facebook under Color of Magic. And if you want to follow us along at Twitter, you can find us there at colorofmtg. And as always, please share the podcast around to your friends, your network, people you think might enjoy it, because every little bit helps as we're trying to increase our user base.